Well, tonight we're going to continue on with our subject, looking at the resurrected Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And from that point of his resurrection to the ascension. Now, how many days is that?
40
days. And we saw there's a number of things in the first day or so when he was discovered, raised from the dead, and he talked to some folks, different people, a couple folks on the road to Emmaus, and talked to the disciples there. And then later on, we saw that he met with them where?
Fishing
at the Galilee.
Yeah, Lake Galilee, right? And so they traveled up there, you know, some 70 miles roughly up there. So he told them to go up there, and he was going to meet up with them. And they had a fish fry. Right. A little fish fry. And
he had bread too, remember?
Yeah, that's I don't know, fish and chips. So let's pick it up here. Of course, I've been using Jesus Christ, Our Passover by Dr. Werwol to look at these different accounts. This will be probably a little bit of a review, but I think, did we read 1 Corinthians 15? This chapter 15 is all about the importance of the resurrection. So it mentions various accounts of Jesus showing himself in his resurrected body.
I remember reading it last week.
Yeah, so let's pick it up here. Chapter 15, verse 4. And that he was buried, and that he rose, or has been raised, again the third day according to the Scriptures. And that he was seen of Cephas. Now, who's Cephas?
Peter.
Then of the 12. And that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once. So we haven't seen any other record, but we do have this record.
Right.
That there were some 500 plus people that saw him in his resurrected body, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. Now, what does that mean, some have fallen asleep? They've died. Some people have died. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me. Me who?
Paul.
Also as of one born out of due time. Now, Paul saw him on the road to Emmaus.
Damascus.
Yes, thank you. Emmaus. Damascus, yes. Which is recorded in the book of Acts. So, you know, what we see here in red, we see some other things that we have not seen in other scriptures. Now, James is, there were a number of different James. I think this refers to his half-brother. I think. I mean, it doesn't say.
It says
about probably
they didn't believe till after he was resurrected, and it makes sense that this would be his brother.
Might bring his name up because there was James of the Apostles, and so he would be in that group.
Mm-hmm.
So this is probably his half-brother who became what some people say the administrative head of the Christian church in Jerusalem,
mm-hmm.
as things got started with the Christian church. This passage of Scripture records in chronological order six of Jesus Christ's appearances. Not all of these are found in the Gospels. Note the accuracy of this record in 1 Corinthians 15. The appearance to Peter occurred between the time Peter went to the tomb a second time and the time the two disciples came back from the road to Emmaus. The appearance to the 12 apostles refers to his appearance 8 days later when Thomas was present. Judas was not yet replaced. So he must have been there. Mm-hmm. The appearance to over 500 brethren is not directly stated in the Gospels. Neither is Jesus' appearance to James. We only know that these two appearances occurred sometime after he appeared in John chapter 21. The appearance to, quote, all the apostles of 1 Corinthians 15:7 may refer to his appearance to them on the day of the ascension. Judas, again, must have been present. Finally, Jesus appeared to Paul on the road to Damascus several years after the ascension, as recorded in Acts chapter 9. How accurately 1 Corinthians 15 corroborates and fits with the gospel records and with the book of Acts. The days of his appearances were among the most exciting in history. By the time he ascended, Jesus Christ had left no reason for doubt that indeed he was risen.
Amen.
To see what God's word reveals about Jesus Christ's ascension, we must study the first chapter of the book of Acts. So we could go to Acts chapter 1, and we'll see where Jesus talks about his ascension. That means where he would go up into heaven and remain up there after these 40 days.
Where was he in the ascension? Do you know? Was he on Mount Tabor or something?
He was in Jerusalem.
He was in Jerusalem.
Yeah, I think we'll see that. I'm pretty sure that's right. Let's read and see. I think we'll see that reveal. So 1:1, Acts 1:1. The former treaties, how I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. So, why don't, I would like, Jeannie, could you look in Luke chapter 1, verse 1 through 4? The former treatise refers to the Gospel of Luke. Both Acts and Luke, having been written by the same person, Luke, the word Theophilus is not necessarily a proper name. It can correctly be translated beloved of God. Luke and Acts were written for those that are beloved of God. So, Jeannie, why don't you read Luke chapter 1:1 through 4.
Okay. Insomuch as many have taken in hand to set in order a narrative of those things which have been fulfilled among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word delivered them to us. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write to you an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus, that you may know the certainty of those things in which you were instructed.
So this is where in Luke we see this term Theophilus used, which is not a proper name so much, it's just the beloved of God. It's a term that was used, and that's how we can connect Luke as the writer of the book of Acts. The Gospel of Luke covered many things Jesus Christ did and taught until the day of the ascension, the day in which he was taken up. The book of Acts continues the record beginning from the day of the ascension. On that day, he gave some specific important commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. This tells us those 12 must have been there, including Judas, for he had chosen all 12. We have further substantiated this by indicating that Judas was present for at least two of these previous appearances. Judas had not yet committed suicide, and he was still fellowshipping with Jesus Christ and with the other disciples. That certainly demonstrates the grace of God manifested in the actions of his son, Jesus Christ. Realizing that all 12 apostles were present at Jesus Christ's ascension, we must follow with precision the pronouns referring to them throughout these verses in Acts. So Acts 1:3, to whom, to the 12 apostles, also he showed himself alive after his passion, his death, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. This documents Jesus Christ's presence on the earth for 40 days after his resurrection. During this period, beginning with the 18th of Nisan, he appeared to the 12 as well as other disciples several times. He showed himself alive by many infallible proofs. Over 500 people saw him during this time. Some saw him more than once. There is not one historical record of any of the witnesses claiming the resurrection to be a hoax.
Mm-hmm.
Nor do any of the witnesses contradict each other's testimony. These men and women were not insane or emotionally disturbed. They were not hallucinating. By the record of God's word itself, they themselves had a difficult time believing what they saw, yet over 500 saw him at once. And by the end of the 40 days, all were convinced that Jesus Christ was risen from the dead. All these accounts name primary witnesses of the resurrected Christ, because they actually saw him in person. In a court of law, the testimony of a primary witness is much more credible than the testimony of those who were not at the event. If you witnessed a car accident and testified to it, the judge would give weight to your testimony. Excuse me, if someone who had not been at the scene of the accident surfaced 2 years later and claimed the wreck had never occurred, the judge would not accept his testimony. In fact, such a testimony would be thrown out of court as an unfounded hypothesis by a secondary witness. We must be that honest with Christ's resurrection. Over 500 people saw the resurrected Christ. Some saw the empty tomb and grave clothes. In the New Testament, we have the written records of some of these firsthand witnesses. Historical references from that period speak of it. And there's some footnotes here about Josephus making note of this.
I'd love to see a translation of that one.
Despite all of this, many people have chosen to accept the testimony of people who live almost 2,000 years later and who claim that Jesus was not resurrected by God. Such is the inconsistency in the human mind. In addition to there having been hundreds of firsthand witnesses of the resurrected Christ, the manifestation of the power of the Holy Spirit is proof to the born-again Christian today that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. When all is considered, the evidence for the resurrection is indisputable and undeniable. It is so clear and simple that even a fool need not err therein.
Mm-hmm.
Not all the appearances of Jesus Christ were recorded, but we do have a record of his final appearance before his ascension here in Acts chapter 1. Again, Jesus Christ's disciples were with him in the Jerusalem area. On this occasion, he gave the apostles his final instructions. So evidently, they must have traveled back to Jerusalem by the end of these 40 days. So verse 4, chapter 1, and being assembled together with them, the 12 apostles, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for or until the promise of the Father, But said he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with or in the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, not many days hence. Other information about this same occasion is found in Luke chapter 24. Remember, the event at hand is the ascension. So here's Luke 24, verse 45. Then opened he, Jesus Christ, their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high.
Amen.
So we see it here in Luke and in Acts. What great promises Jesus Christ was making to the apostles. This record in Luke 24 is placed right after the appearances 40 days earlier. It is also having occurred in Jerusalem. Luke is simply summarizing events that happened over a long period of time at the same location with basically the same people. Both Luke 24 and Acts 1 relate that Jesus told his apostles of the promise of the Father. In Acts, it was called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In Luke, it was called being clothed or endued with power from on high. Jesus was again instructing the 12 about the greatness of what they were about to receive in a few days. Despite Jesus' teaching them, the apostles did not yet understand the greatness that was to come. They could not grasp what Jesus was saying. Acts chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or of the seasons, which the Father has put in his own power. The apostles were still wondering about Christ's future kingdom. They did not realize the magnitude of the promise of the Holy Spirit, which had just been made to them, so they sidetracked the topic. But rather than angrily reproving them, Jesus simply said that no one knew when the kingdom would be restored to Israel. The authority of that restoration was God's and God's alone. Only God knows when Jesus Christ will return and establish that kingdom. Having said this, Jesus Christ returned to his topic, namely the receiving of the Holy Spirit and its effect. So chapter 1, verse 8. But ye, the 12 apostles, shall receive. The word receive is the Greek word lambano. And remember I shared the two Greek words that are translated, the one English word, receive. And they're very. There is a distinction between the two. One is dekomai, and the other is lambano. Dekomai is to receive subjectively, and lambano is to receive out into manifestation. You've already decomied. Now let's lambano it. Let's use it. Let's operate it. And that's this word, you shall lambano, power, dunamis, inherent power. After that, the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Wow. Jesus Christ was preparing all 12 apostles, including Judas, for what was to come about in a few days. If Judas had obeyed these instructions, he too would have been filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. That is the great forgiveness and grace of our Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But Judas committed suicide before Pentecost arrived. Perhaps it was at this time of the final instruction, just before ascending into heaven, that Jesus Christ gave the following exhortation found in Mark 16. So here's Mark 16, verses 15 through 18. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized with the Holy Spirit shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned or judged. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They, in context, it means if they, shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. By their believing, the apostles would be able to stop the ill effects of any poisonous liquid that they might accidentally drink. By believing, they would be able to cast out devils and speak in tongues. By believing, they would be able to receive revelation, to lay hands on people and heal them. These are some of the great ways by which God would confirm his word as they preached it to every creature. These powers would be available to those who would be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit and believe. Aren't those tremendous promises?
Yes.
Yes, yes. Mark 16:19. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. So that's Mark 16:19. Luke 24:50 and 51. And he led them out as far as to Bethany. Now, just so you know, Bethany is, we've been there. It's right around the hill from the Mount of Olives. So it's really close.
2 miles.
They say 2 miles? Yeah, it's probably even less. It's right around the hill there. And so, where were we here? Led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Acts 1:9, we're looking at different scriptures about the same event at the ascension. So Acts 1:9, and when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Jesus Christ led the apostles from Jerusalem to the other side of the Mount of Olives, as far as Bethany, on the eastern side of the Mount of Olives. There is a secluded area overlooking the village of Bethany. They were not in sight of Jerusalem. They were not at the traditional site of the ascension over which a shrine is now located. That traditional site today sits on the top of Mount of Olives, completely out of sight of Bethany, but in full view of Jerusalem. We've had the opportunity of physically being there. I know exactly what he's saying. There's that hill, Mount of Olives, and on the east side, on the other side, away from Jerusalem, is Bethany. And that's what he's talking about. Once again, we see the great error introduced, which has been perpetrated by tradition. People have consistently failed to adhere to the accuracy and integrity of God's word. Jesus Christ raised his hands and blessed the disciples. While he was yet blessing them, he was taken up into heaven, and a cloud received him out of their sight. The apostles beheld him as he went up. And while they, the 12 apostles, looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. The pronoun them again refers to the apostles whom Jesus had chosen, mentioned in verse 2. All 12, including Judas, witnessed the ascension. It was a singular, unparalleled, dramatic event. After he was out of sight, they were still gazing upward in enraptured awe. Two angels coming into visible form as men stood next to them. The angels' words reveal some interesting truths. Verse 11 in Acts chapter 1. Which the angels, which also said, ye men of Galilee. These words should have caught our attention long ago. So far, God's word has clearly set forth that all 12 apostles witnessed the ascension. Yet, just after it happened, the angels spoke only to the men of Galilee. Judas Iscariot, the only non-Galilean, a Judean, was gone. This pinpoints the time at which Judas left the other 11. After seeing Jesus at least three times in the past 40 days, after being forgiven by him and accepted in the fellowship with the apostles, after being promised the power of the Holy Spirit, and finally after witnessing the ascension, Judas Iscariot could no longer cope with life.
Mm-hmm. Can you imagine?
After witnessing the ascension of the one he had betrayed, Jesus Christ, Judas Iscariot left to commit suicide. Meanwhile, the angels had an important message for these Galileans. Acts 1:11, and we'll close here. Which also said, the angels, you men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So what was that promise that the angels gave? That Jesus Christ would come back.
Amen.
That he would come back in the clouds. And we see in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 where Jesus Christ comes back to gather his church mm-hmm. in the clouds. So we're going to stop there. There's a little bit more we can read here, and we'll look at the period between his ascension and the day of Pentecost, which is some 10 days. Okay? All right. Well, Father, thank you for the greatness of your word and how clear you've made it that you would record this in your word of these very important events. And that for sure, absolutely, Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. And he showed himself 40 days to many, many, many people, that he truly was raised from the dead, that you received him up after those 40 days, the ascension occurred, and now it sets the case for the promise of the Father that they would be endued with power from on high, the gift of Holy Spirit that would come several days later, which we know as Pentecost. So thank you, Father, for the great information that we see in your word, and that we can have great trust in your word and your promises. And we pray and thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.